Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN on a Friday, June 19th, 2020. Happy Juneteenth to everyone observing this holiday, which we spent some time talking about throughout the day. And actually, I have a story that I'm going to get to. I'll throw it in here right now, actually, Don, before we even get started. Did you see the post from the NHL, Don, with their little historical tidbit?
Yes, I did.
Pretty interesting that NHL wrote, "This Juneteenth, we celebrate the Colored Hockey League," spelled the Canadian way, by the way, C-O-L-O-U-R-E-D. Mm. Founded in Nova Scotia in 1895, the league was formed by the sons and grandsons of escaped slaves whose innovations helped create hockey as we know it today. Don, did you know anything about the Colored Hockey League?
I did not, no. I mean, I know, because you know, I got to know Willie O'Ree, who was the first ever black hockey player. I think 54 was his first year with the Boston Bruins. They were the first team to integrate.
Wow.
And he lives down in San Diego, and he's really been involved in the league. So, but that I did not know, and it was very interesting.
Is he still with us?
Yes, Willie is.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
He's in his 80s now.
Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
He's a legitimately nice man.
And let's say good evening to Don.
Pythagorean theorem, Thad.
Did you see this, Peter?
Sure.
Clemson, just 23 football players have tested positive for COVID-19.
Things are going well.
Yesterday, a fifth of Texas's football team tested positive.
By the way, isn't it interesting it's happening in these states where everyone's opening things back up because nobody's sick? How many of these kids do you think were asymptomatic?
I don't know. And I hope, I mean, New York's going to open up. Is it going to happen again here? Or are we going to open up smarter?
I'm so curious, though, to see, do those players come in and say, "I feel sick," or are they simply just testing all the kids? And
I think they're testing everybody.
Well, there has to be a reason why today we're hearing so much. So was today something where people were just reporting a lot today and they were getting tests? Because it just seems like, you know, we didn't hear any of this, and then all of a sudden today there's news all over the place.
We have the Phillies. They're closing their spring training facility in Clearwater, Florida, after 5 players and 3 staff members tested positive for coronavirus. The Blue Jays shut down their training facility in
Dunedin.
Exactly. And it's going to remain closed until medical authorities are confident that the virus is under control. So
if baseball comes back, if they, like, over the weekend they come to an agreement, I don't see how the Yankees train in Tampa. I don't understand how they could risk that.
A lot of Blue Jays.
Tampa Bay Lightnings have shut down their facility.
Lightning shut down. So this is a lot of Florida, man.
I think the Yankees are going to end up having their spring training, so to speak, in the Bronx.
I agree 100%.
And I understand what you're saying about the field and stuff, but you're not going to have nearly as many players this time around. It'll be just the players that are going to be on the roster for the start of the season. So even when they expand the rosters, Michael, what are we talking, maybe 30 players?
30 players on an active roster, but they're also going to carry 20 others.
So if you've got 50 players, Michael, but obviously, where else could they go? Could they use that field outside Yankee Stadium, or is that Little League field?
I don't know. No. I mean, it's a field, but it's certainly not. It's not a major league quality field.
Nick Watney became the first player on the PGA Tour to test positive for coronavirus, so he withdrew from the RBC Heritage before his tee time today. He's 39 years old, and this is, we're talking about a legit player, 5-time winner on the PGA Tour. and he had symptoms consistent with the virus. Consulted a physician, got the test, and was found to be positive. So now he will enter a recovery period in self-isolation.
See, I wonder when they say symptoms, Peter. I mean, is he really ill? Is he coughing? Does he have like 103 temperature? Because, you know, these other people that we see that have it, well, asymptomatic, or they didn't really feel anything. Well, he actually went in for a test, right? Because he didn't feel great. So how will that affect him? Will he be, you know, I've had friends of mine that, I mean, they were in hospital for 13 days. I was talking, you know, Howie Singer, who we had on.
Yeah.
He just got the clear today. So that was like two months ago that he got it. He got a chest x-ray and everything was clear finally. That's how long it takes.
Unreal.
Now, he's older. I believe he's 60, but he's in fairly good health.
Hey, you guys want to hear from Kendrick Perkins?
Yeah. He always stirs it up.
By the way, RJ, we're getting close to, I don't want to say we need it, we're close to Perkins watch territory.
I'm very close.
Right?
It's funny because Tiger Woods, who you have a watch for, watched that a lot at Perkins.
You know, wow. You know what? When you're the best, you're the best. You know, sometimes you just show up and you just do what you do. I'm impressed. I'm touched.
I can, you know, I don't even need a laugh from you. Just that you're impressed impresses me.
I that was very good.
Thank you.
Let's go to the other Perkins. This is Kendrick Perkins on First Take responding to KD calling him a, quote, sellout.
Just because I don't agree with what Kyrie got going on don't mean I'm not fighting the same fight that you all are fighting. I am fighting for African Americans. I've been have. And that don't make you a sellout. That don't make me a sellout because I have a different opinion or disagree with someone else that's going about it another way. I actually applaud anybody that's fighting a fight right now in America.
Oh, stop. Stop. He can't get away with that. I'm sorry.
Well, no, because you're right. And by the way, was KD calling him a sellout to black people or a sellout to NBA players?
But whatever. I mean, you can't make it seem like, oh, we're just disagreeing. You made fun of the guy.
He apologized for that, though.
What?
Yesterday he apologized. He said, I shouldn't have said the thing about a bird flying backward.
RJ, did you hear that?
What?
There's a little bit more here. Hold on. Let's hear a little bit more from Perk.
You don't know what I'm going through right now in my personal life fighting a fight. I live in a million-dollar community. I'm fighting a fight every day in my own community. I'm the only African-American family that live in this community, and my wife and I have to fight a fight with our home association and neighbors every day through email. So much that we're not even comfortable with having our kids go outside without supervision. You don't know what I'm going through for us fighting the fight when I have to drive my oldest son to middle school to go to his workouts. And I pull up, and there's 70 kids out there, and there's only two African-Americans, and he's one of them. And I got to stay out there to make sure he okay, because just 4 days ago, they 2 miles away from my house, they found the African-American teenager hung dead at an elementary school. And I've been on multiple platforms. I've used my social media to speak out since this first started.
I call me stupid, and this is really not my place to jump in terms of it being a racial conversation between KD and KP, but I really assumed when he wrote sellout, it was a player conversation, that he was talking about the role that Perkins was playing and calling out Kyrie in terms of
See, that's the danger of social media.
Right.
You're not really fleshing out the quote. He just wrote sellout. Well, what did he mean?
Right.
What was he selling out on?
And listen, Perkins makes some excellent points to defend himself. But you just can't make it out to be that it was an attack by Kyrie after a disagreement on a subject. You attacked Kyrie, basically calling him stupid. So then you can't be all shocked. It's like, wait a minute. You're going after me, calling me a sellout. What are you talking about? We just disagreed with each other. No, you took it too far. He would have every right to say what he said if it was just, I disagree with Kyrie. I think he's going about it the wrong way. Now, even just because you apologized doesn't mean it went away. You might feel bad about it, but it was still said. And when Kyrie called you out, it was before the apology. So stop
KD,
When KD called him out. It was already, he was defending Kyrie. because Kyrie was basically called stupid. So he was attacking him on, I thought, a very immature level, Peter.
Fair. I think that's a totally fair point. We've talked quite a bit about Mike Gundy the last few days, right? His wearing of an OAN t-shirt, the fallout with the best player on his team. We have now just learned from Awful announcing that ESPN has been filming an all-access series at Oklahoma State throughout this entire thing.
Mm.
So as this saga has been playing out, apparently ESPN cameras have been running. And at some point, we will see how this situation actually played out behind the scenes.
I heard OAN is also doing it like inside Oklahoma State documentary. See if they're different.
No, I'm sure it'll be both be objective. I assume you're making that part up.
Made it up.
Yeah. Now, moving right along, Gerald McCoy was on First Take. And, of course, he wanted to speak on his team's owner, the Cowboys, Jerry Jones.
When we're trying to push for change, you look for those particular figures in the sport or in the world, period, to speak up and say something where people listen. You know, these are my new teammates, so I don't know what their relationship is with Mr. Jones. I don't know. But what I do know is that something needs to be said. And you've seen other professional athletes speak up. You've seen other owners speak up. I just feel like it's necessary at this point that something needs to be said. Anything. You know, don't just go silent. Say something. Anything.
I wonder if there's an underlying story here. Because he's been MIA. He hasn't even appeared on camera since the draft.
Who, Jerry?
Yeah. Because it's almost inconceivable that a guy who romances every microphone he sees would not have commented on this. Because even if he's not all in, he's certainly savvy enough to say something. But to not say anything is saying so much, if that makes sense. I mean, you can't bring yourself to say anything. That's why I think there's something else up.
What do you mean?
Maybe he's just quarantining. He's afraid to get sick.
But people are doing. He couldn't comment on Zoom.
Yeah, I guess.
Of course. By the way, Gerald McCoy is a longtime Buccaneer. Last year was in Carolina. He just got to Dallas, so it's an interesting situation for him to be a brand new player in Dallas and say that. Good for him.
I'm surprised. I don't know, Michael Irvin, Tony Romo, don't say, hey, Jerry, what's up? Why aren't you saying anything? Jason Witten? They all have great relationship with this guy. Talk Emmitt Smith. Hey,
well,
Jerry,
remember,
you better say something.
Jason Witten was on that list of players that of people that Dez said could stand to go to a protest. A statue of the former Washington Redskins owner has been removed from RFK Stadium.
You want the present owner to be removed.
I know. Well, George Preston Marshall, there was a statue outside of RFK Stadium. Now, Marshall was a horrible human being. Forced to integrate in 1962, the last to integrate.
That's 15 years after Jackie Robinson.
Think about that.
1962.
Think about how embarrassing that is. And was a virulent racist till the day he died. His statue has been removed. And then,
where
Michael,
are they putting all these statues that they remove? Is there like a racist hall of fame?
It's a great point.
Or they just destroy them?
No, I think I think eventually they have to go into a museum somewhere.
But then why would they be taken out of the museum?
What'd you say?
For what they stand for, why should they be in a museum?
Well, because bad things still go in a museum, because museams are for history, not necessarily for good history.
Well, we don't have to have a statue
in one of the states,
the
George Washington statue was toppled.
Well, George's going to catch it. A lot
of Jefferson.
Jefferson's really going to catch it.
His statue was removed from somewhere. Or,
are people going to be prepared for money to change? Because that's going to happen. Able, your five will be good.
Well,
five's
you
in business.
Why bother doing it if certain history is going to be exempt?
That's the thing.
Right? So I don't know. George is a tough one, right? You're talking, he's the father of our country.
Yeah.
But
he owns slaves.
He owns slaves.
There are going to be some interesting moments as we move forward with that. One step at a time. Let's see if the Redskins will actually do the right thing and start talking about their team name. Michael, what did you hear earlier?
Washington Post, their editorial board, put together a huge opinion piece that, and they ran it today, that this is the time that Snyder has to change the name of the team. But I think he's such an entrenched, arrogant guy that he will look at this as a fight that he doesn't want to. He has fought against every single reasonable request. This is going to change him? I don't see it.
But here's the point, okay? A sports analogy for you. Daniel Snyder was fighting that fight as a 7.5-point favorite.
Right.
He'll now be fighting that fight as a 7.5-point underdog.
He'll still fight it, though. You know how he's built.
I'm saying he can fight it. But you know what? It was one thing to fight when you knew you were going to win. The majority seemed to be on your side, right? History seemed to be on your side, because that's what he always likes to throw out, right? Well, it's the history. It's honoring the history. Well, you're starting to see a lot of history change. So he doesn't have as much a leg to stand on. I'm not debating you that he'll fight.
But, Don, he never had a leg to stand on. He refused to stand on that leg, and he continued to stand on that leg.
But we agree, but there were still he had a lot of people on his side.
He did.
Now there's not as many people. Now he's fighting, I think, an underdog fight. I'm not saying he won't fight. I'm not saying that he won't care. But he does not have the backing that he had even a month ago.
But he's got a lot of nozzle in him.
Well, I mean, what happened when you tried to offer him that cookie?
Oh, it was one of the great embarrassments of my life.
So,
I don't know what you were thinking, honestly. I mean, as the one thing I could say that you do exceptionally well.
Read the room?
Is read a room. And
I thought I read it well. I misread that one.
And I cringed when you did it.
Oh, you knew what was happening, too. It was like slow motion for you.
You really, it's, I mean, this is, you whiffed on that one, man.
But really, who's the one that was a jerk there? Not me, him.
No, you're not a jerk. No, you were a good guy. I'm just saying that you should have read the room, and the room said this is not something you should do.
I handed him a delicious, soft, moist, hot chocolate chip cookie, and he looked at me like I poisoned him.
I'd respect what he did, but not chocolate chip.
But this was mere moments, Peter, after
he
asked for it. Said, where are the cookies? He just he swung his head back in just disgust that he had to wait as long for the cookies as he did. And Michael thought it'd be a good idea when the cookies came that he would serve it to him on a plate.
Cookies.
You know what I thought, too, Peter? I've never said this on the air.
What? What's on the air?
On the air.
Okay.
I thought, I'm going to give this guy a cookie. He's going to thank me profusely. I'm going to be friends with this guy. He's going to invite me to Redskin games, sit me in the suite. It's going to be like one of my, you know, star friends on my in my Rolodex. Instead, now he's dead to me.
But see, that instinct works well for you.
It does.
And you know, because you usually read the room, that you know who to try to connect with, and usually works out very well for you. 9 times out of 10, it works tremendously.
That I should have gone to Bernard Kalb, right? Was he there? Was that the guy?
No, Bernard Shaw.
Bernard Shaw.
Now
wait one second, Peter. We were talking about statues, and Rick DiPietro brings up a really good point. Don, I think you're going to appreciate this. He said, many people have asked what you do with the Peter Rosenberg statue that sits there during baseball segments.
Save DiPietro!
it took me a second to get it. You know, it's not that I am offended by the joke. It's more the laughter. It's more Don's laughter that really.
I'm sorry. It was funny.
That's the part that hurts. You know,
you have to honor the joke, all right? And
know,
listen, I support
have to honor
you like
joke,
no
Peter.
Other. But funny's funny.
The fact that I know it's so true is that's what hurts. So the Twins are.
RJ just said he thinks that's the best one that Rick's ever had.
It was very good. It was strong.
Well, it was the best one that could be read on the air. How about that?
The Twins removed a statue of their former owner, Calvin Griffith. He moved the team from Washington to Minnesota before the 1961 season. And in 1978, he said that the lack of a black community in Minnesota was one of the selling points for him. So the Twins said, while we acknowledge the prominent role Calvin Griffith played in our history, we cannot remain silent and continue ignoring his racist comments in 1970.
But here's what's amazing, Peter. Do you know what Calvin Griffith said?
I just said it.
But it took them now to not give the guy a statue?
I know.
I mean, his comments, there's no other way to interpret them but virulent racism. I'm moving the team to Minneapolis because there's a lot of white people there. You don't have to be a sociologist to figure that out. And they still said, you know what? Give him a statue.
Crazy. Hey, guys, you remember a couple years ago how controversial it was when the Red Sox went with the renaming of Yawkey Way?
No, people were going nuts.
Yeah, they were ahead of their time.
And they actually got a little bit ahead of it relative to everything else. The SEC is going to consider keeping championship games out of Mississippi until they change their state flag. Commissioner Greg Sankey said it's past time for the state of Mississippi to change its flag, and the SEC would consider withholding any future conference championship events there until it's changed. Mississippi is the only state that has the Confederate symbol still on its flag. Good.
Right there. If you've never seen it, it's think of the American flag. It would be like replacing the stars. It's like that big on the flag. Right, Peter? I don't know if you've ever seen it.
It's the size of the stars on the US, on the American flag, that yeah. area. You mean the top left of the flag.
Yeah, the top left of the flag, the blue part, yeah.
Jeannie Buss posted something interesting on social media today on her Instagram account. She posted an aggressively racist and misogynistic letter that she got. After 60 years, a huge Lakers fan, I now say to hell with the overpaid N-word traitors and the NBA, the letter reads. Go to hell and join bleeping Kobe Bryant, it concludes. Jeannie wrote, after much thought, I decided to share this letter I received on Monday so that everyone can see the hate is real and living out there. This is happening in our world today. It's real and it exists. She wrote the guy back and said, did sending this letter make you feel better? Really, all you did was waste your time, energy, and postage stamp. Why don't you look in the mirror and see your ugliness? Because I refuse to. I have received letters like this over the years. The advice I always got, ignore it. I did, but not anymore. On this day, Juneteenth, I ask my white friends to join together, acknowledge the racism that exists in our country and around the world, and pledge to stop ignoring it. We must do better.
You know what amazes me about all this, Peter?
LeBron posted her post on his IG story, by the way. Yes.
So you know these people are out there. So you would think that in these times, they would recede back under the rock where they live. But some feel emboldened.
No,
Write it and put a name to it. You see it on Twitter, too. You see people that say stuff when people are rolling with their camera phones. It is mind-boggling to me that not only can you be racist, but just completely rock-solid dumb.
But I told you, my favorite thing is they think they're so right. Half the time when those cameras start rolling, they go, good, put this out.
Right.
Put this on Facebook. I want the world to see.
Fighting,
they think they're right.
They don't want the world to change. Because you got a lot of people that are in the corner of, I just never thought of it that way. You make a good point. And then just say, I gotta rethink. I was ignoring a lot of things. There's that segment of the population. And then there's the segment of the population that knew exactly what was going on, happy with it, and now that it's changing, they're red hot. Just go, if you're not doing anything, go to Twitter and look at a post. Like, you know, PK Subban had a really nice post today about Black Lives Matter and all that. And read the comments. Read the comments and you'll see.
Oh, you can just go to my page. It's quite frequent.
Well, I backed you on retweeting some of it, too. because I think it's important that people know that this is not just kind of a little rogue segment of the population. There's more than you think.
Well, listen, when you retweet it, Peter, and then your followers just go at the person, all of a sudden they're insulted. Why did you do that?
Not only that, they become straight victims.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Someone who called me Jew boy and said, "You better pray you don't see me on the street." All it took was me retweeting it for them to say, "Oh, wait, we just had a disagreement. We had a difference in opinion. You know, what's wrong?"
Yeah, his opinion of what your name is different than yours.
What'd you say?
His opinion of what your name is different than what your opinion is.
Exactly. My opinion is I don't like being called Jew boy.
I guess these people need to know how social media works.
That's another part. They're also so dumb. Like, my friend told me, he was like, "Listen, the person's a horrible person, I'm sure. But in addition to that, they're so stupid, they treat tweeting in public like it's texting or yelling at their television at home. They don't realize that people are actually going to see it. Or maybe they do, and that's what they want." The Celtics' Enes Kanter put out a statement today saying his father's been released from prison in Turkey. He was arrested 7 years ago by the authoritarian government there. And Kanter's been an outspoken critic of the Turkish government ever since. And he went on Twitter and said, "Wow, I could cry. Today I found out that 7 years after arresting my dad, taking him through a kangaroo court and accusing him of being a criminal just because he's my dad has been released. This is due to the pressure we have put on the Turkish regime." So congrats to the Kanter family. That's good news. You guys want to hear a little bit about this day in sports history?
Yeah.
Let's take a stroll back, shall we? We'll go all the way back to 2016.
Shumpert trying to stay with Curry. Catches one dribble, steps back, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound tip taken by Spades. Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Beautiful call.
I love Breen.
What's Mike not Breen. To love? Hall of Famer to you.
Also on this day back in 2015.
High fly ball. Deep right. Martinez back. Track. Wall. See ya. He did it in style. He joins the 3,000 hit club with a home run. 18,000 men have played Major League Baseball. Only 29. Have had 3,000 hits, and Alex Rodriguez now joins the club.
One of the most difficult calls I ever had to make.
Michael, you didn't even mention PEDs, Michael. You didn't even bring up the fact that he had used steroids. He cheated and he lied twice. You didn't mention that in your call, Michael. You're such a homer.
That is one of the calls that I spent sleepless nights thinking, how over the top
don't you want
do
those sleepless nights back, Michael?
Like, yeah, I do. I do, because... You know, you just call the moment, and then you can contextualize it later, and we did leading up to that. But even leading up to that, there were columns about you can't make a big deal out of this. These are ill-gotten gains. Oh, yeah. My head hurt.
Yeah, and those same people wrote an article that Phil Mushnick wrote yesterday, too. So, you know what?
Which one are you talking about?
He's too much thwaring. You know, Pete Alonso thwore. C.C. Sabathia thwares. There's a language problem in baseball.
By the way, Phil Mushnick's obsession with cursing? He's a lunatic. Has anyone told him he's a lunatic? He's a psychopath.
I think with all that's going on in the world, I mean, that's keeping
that's all
you
he
up
cares about.
That's really all, wow.
It's his number one priority.
Yeah.
Is telling black people how they should talk. That's one of his favorite things. And also being upset about cursing and degrading society. He's been writing it for 35 years. Aren't you bored with the life you've wasted? Meanwhile,
you know, baseball is going through having to decide how to handle things with the coronavirus in the middle of a CBA, in a culture that's trying to change dramatically from our history, and that's what's first and foremost on his mind. What a waste of ink.
No, one second. I don't want to be the bad guy here, because Pete Alonso is a great guy, and I don't think that he should have been included in that. But some of the people who use filthy language on things that kids could see, I think they should think about it, and they don't.
But is that right now? Is that the piece
right? Well, okay. That's if that's your point, then I understand it completely. So, I mean, we shouldn't talk about anything trivial either.
No.
But the bottom line is some people should realize to curb their mouth when kids are going to hear it.
My point is not that I don't care, all right? But what I'm saying is that with everything that's going on, that's on his mind.
I guess it is.
And listen, and
he's
and
a
if you wanted to have the article, he's a talentless hack.
Come at me, Mushnick, you talentless, free speech hating hack. You've been doing it for 30, 40 years. He used to go to WWE every week. Then he's like Tipper Gore in 1989, Don. He has to watchdog every word everyone says. What? Meaning right now we're in this important time in history. Are you talking about all the hateful words that have existed and been etched into our language and our lives that have affected people of color? No. But he has to write constantly about Jay-Z uses the N-word, and this black person uses the N-word. He's the language police of everybody.
Well,
shut up, you old hack.
Don't get me wrong. It bothers me when I listen to the CC Sabathia podcast, the R2C2. And CC, who I like and I'm a fan of and I think is a really intelligent guy, you know, swears like he does. I think sometimes that devalues the message a little bit. So I get what Mushnick is trying to say. But my overall point is...
But you don't have to listen. And
now,
you don't have to listen to
at this particular point with everything that's going on, that's on your mind right now? Like, I could see if you wrote that article after David Ortiz swore when he was on the public address announcement at Fenway Park after the Boston Marathon bombing, or if there was just an incident where somebody was like swearing up and down. Meanwhile, you defame Pete Alonso, who's nothing but a good guy.
Great guy.
You know, and CeCe, who's done so much for the community because he's got a potty mouth. That's the lead article. That's the lead paragraph or two in your article that gets the headline with everything in the world that's going on to me. That seems tone deaf to me. That's
you know who
I'm
I felt sorry for today? And you could see this never, ever happens. Mike Puma, who covers the Mets, had to come out and say, I think Pete Alonso's a great guy. Mike Vaccaro had to, like, echo. So you have to go up against your guy because Phil writes that, and he has every right to write what he wants, and he puts the Post in a bad situation. The guys that have to see Pete Alonso every single day, Pete Alonso might say, you know what? I'm never talking to the Post again after that. All the things I've done, the people I've reached out to during this crisis, I've done Zooms with old people that are terminally ill.
So I do really nice stuff,
and then the Post does this. So Ken Davidoff said something against what Mushnick wrote. Mike Puma, who covers the Mets, did. And Mike Vaccaro, the columnist in sports at the Post, did as well. So I'm sure it's going to be very uncomfortable when those guys have to see Pete Alonso. Because they don't have any. Those three guys have no control over what Phil Mushnick writes. But he writes it, and he puts them in a big magoo right now because how are they going to deal with this guy who's going to be the star of the Mets for the next 15 years?
If I'm Phil Mushnick during this time, I am keeping a low profile that people don't dig up all of your old columns. Because when people are reminded that you made jokes like the Nets should be called the New York N-words after Jay-Z jumped on board, I think a lot of people might come for you. I keep a low pro because a lot of those columns
is,
Michael, are really offensive.
Is that it was people like that that made you lose sleep because you had to put into your call that A-Rod had cheated as if we're all stupid and didn't know. And to put you in a position that you were some sort of a shill because you didn't include it in your call and you lost sleep over that because one or two yo-yos decide to write about it? No, you're bigger than they are. Shoot up, not down. Don't lose sleep. Sleep like a maniac. Sleep to where they think you're in a coma and they got to shock you back to life. That's how well you should sleep for the talent that you have and the lack of their talent.
Thank you.
Coma sleep.
I have not slept well lately.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.